One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has said many controversial things over the years, but in a newly revealed secret recording, she appears to float a conspiracy theory about the Port Arthur massacre in which 35 people were murdered. She says, and this is the quote, "Those shots, they were precision shots. Check the number out. I've read the book on it. Port Arthur, a lot of questions there." To discuss this further, I'm joined by Phil Khoury, the political editor with the Financial Review. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Kath. How are you?
I'm well. Now, this Al Jazeera documentary has captured Pauline Hanson questioning the Port Arthur massacre. Of course, it's on top of revelations that One Nation was cozying up to the NRA in the US. Is any of this damaging to One Nation, or could it fit in with that view of some One Nation supporters who think this is just another example of Pauline Hanson being picked on?
Oh, look, it's probably a bit of a subjective assessment, but people have to make up their own minds. Kath, I'm sure there are One Nation supporters who'll just see this as more of the media, you know, ganging up on Pauline, and it's all unfair and a stitch up and so forth. And there may be others who are turned off. I mean, if you're looking for precedent, perhaps the West Australian election, which was 2 years ago this month, you remember One Nation was supposed to do really well there. They were going to clean up and win all these seats. Mm. And then on the cusp of that, Senator Hanson embraced the anti-vaxxer cause. And that was seen as too extreme by many and cited as the reason why they underperformed in WA. I think they got about 4.9% and won one or two upper house seats, but nothing like that. So perhaps this is in that space, but who knows? You know, the threshold these days either doesn't exist or has, you know, moved so much it's hard to know where it is. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, certainly the Prime Minister strongly condemned One Nation. He's still refusing, of course, to insist that Pauline Hanson's party's placed last on the How to Vote card. Do these fresh revelations sort of pile the pressure on for Scott Morrison to follow John Howard's lead of 20 years ago and direct that they go to the bottom of the ticket?
Well, it does. I mean, you only have to look at the statements of the Labor in the last couple of days. They've really ramped it up on the back of this Al Jazeera expose. I mean, they turned it up last week after, you know, Christchurch and so forth. So, yes, it does. Will he fold? I don't know. The Prime Minister can be notoriously stubborn, his colleagues say. But he is in an invidious political position where, you know, they sort of, One Nation has him over a barrel in Queensland with such a high proportion of votes in so many marginal seats. And if they were to preference him last and Senator Hanson were to retaliate and preference the Liberals last, it could cost seats. They'll have to weigh that up against, you know, the offset, if you like, the damage done, if there is broader damage inflicted on the coalition for not preferencing them last. Mm. So they're going to have to take all that into account.
And one would imagine he'd also potentially face a rebellion from some of those Queensland MPs.
Well, that's right. I mean, his authority could be, I mean, if he were to come out today and say we're doing it, you know, a la John Howard in 98, which Michelle Grattan pointed out the other day, you know, that Howard had to sort of dragged to that position. It wasn't an immediate instinct. Mm. But if the Prime Minister were to do that, you know, then there is a challenge, a threat that the Queenslanders could sort of just ignore him and say, no, we're not doing it. I mean, we've seen he's been putting out spot fires with them in the last couple of weeks. We saw the coal resolution earlier this week. It's a difficult sort of alliance to manage at the moment, and he's got competing pressures, you know, from the Victorians and the Queenslanders. So That's why they pay them the big money, Kath. They've got to make these decisions.
Well, speaking of the coal resolution, we just heard Richard Di Natale there. The Greens' climate and energy policy is now out on the table. Mm. All thermal coal exports to end and a shutdown for all Australia's coal-fired power stations. How the Greens will likely control or at least share the balance of the power in the next parliament is probably going to be a real issue here. Is there trouble here if Labor is elected?
Look, I don't think so because, well, we don't know what Labor's policy is yet. You know, we know their energy policy, which is relatively innocuous. It's household batteries and some other bits and pieces, and to bring back the National Energy Guarantee should the coalition ever change its mind. Now, that's got nothing to do with the Greens. There's no point doing an agreement with the Greens because if you're looking for investor certainty, industry certainty, it has to be between the government of the day and the alternative government. We saw it happen in Labor. You know, did a carbon price with the Greens, Tony Abbott came in and got rid of it. So it sort of doesn't solve the longer term policy challenge. So in that aspect, no. We're still waiting to see what Labor's going to do for the non-energy sector, you know, agriculture, transport and heavy manufacturing. They've mooted what's called a baseline and credit scheme for 350 of our heaviest polluters, where if you go over a certain limit, it, you effectively pay a fine. But there's going to be all sorts of exemptions and things. So until we see that, it's a bit hard to know. But look, again, even if they took it to the election and won the election, and it doesn't really matter if the Greens support it or not. It matters if the Coalition supports it, because the thing would just get unwound at the next change of government. So for the Greens, this is their positioning statement. It's obviously, you know, way too much for Labor to ever adopt. They're not going to go this far.
No.
Yeah, the Greens was 100% renewable energy by 2030. Labor's is 50%. So this is an exercise in differentiation as much as anything. It will never be the reality.
All right. Great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Pleasure, Kath. Bye-bye.
Phil Currie is the political editor with the Financial Review.